Hello and welcome to the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Marta Medveshek. Today, I'm taking you back to the 2008 Beijing Olympics, where stormy seas are about to wreak havoc with the hopes and dreams of the Danish sailing team. It's the 17th of August, 2008, and in the Yellow Sea of Qingdao in China, the final race of the Olympic 49ers sailing competition is just about to start. Throughout the competition week, the wind has been light, some days even too light for racing these small high-speed boats. But today, conditions have changed.
It's crazy windy, the waves are crazy, it's rainy, it's foggy, it's very, very rough sailing conditions. Borderline sailable.
Martin Kirketep is part of the two-man crew of the Danish boat, which he is racing with his skipper, Jonas Warrer. Having dominated the whole week, Denmark have an 11-point lead and are strong favourites to win gold going into the final race.
We have had a beautiful regatta, beautiful Olympics, and we are feeling very ready.
With 10 boats left in the competition, they only need to finish 7th to achieve a lifelong dream.
We had spent 15 or 18 years of our life dreaming about being in this situation. Both me and Jonas, since we were 10 years old.
But then, as they're completing one less practice on the water before the race, their mast snaps.
The feeling I will never forget. I couldn't even look at Jonas. It just hurt so much.
Once you break the mast, that's it.
Having already been eliminated from the competition, Croatian sailor Pavle Kostov was watching events unfold on TV in the nearby athlete's accommodation.
Everybody who is doing sports on such a high level knows these things do happen, but still you are a bit like, come on, this is just pure bad luck.
Not only is the Danish team's prospect of a gold medal disappearing, but also their chance of winning any medal.
It was heartbreaking for us. It meant the world, it meant everything, and we are so close, and now we are not even able to be on the starting line. It was so bad.
As they're drifting around in the Yellow Sea, their coach, Jasper Bank, approaches them to tow them back to shore.
I remember him saying something like, this can't be over, boys. Do something. See if there's another boat. Go and do something. Then a switch just flicked inside our heads, and we're like, yes, this cannot be over.
As soon as they hit land, they jump out and go looking for any other boat they can use. But all other boats that are no longer in the competition have already been packed away. All except one, which is standing there, untouched since the last race, with its mast up and wings out. It's their last shot, the Croatian boat.
This was actually pure luck. We knew that we would stay 10 more days, so we were not in a rush. And to be honest, the night before we went out, and this was, we were just too lazy to go early morning, they rigged the boat.
At this moment, Pavle and his crew, Petar Cupac, are watching the live broadcast when their phone rings. It's a Croatian journalist calling from the media booth where she's standing with Danish journalists.
She said that they are discussing, like, if we are willing to maybe give a boat to Danish. And we immediately started running.
In the marina, the Danish sailors have already started tearing the covers off the Croatian boat and rigging the sails.
At that stage, it was theft, if you can call it that. We had asked nobody. We are simply just taking their boat. And then we see them running all they can towards us. And honestly, we had no idea if they was going to say no or yes. But they didn't even say a single word. They just helped us rig the boat as fast as they could.
It's now a nail-biting race against time. They need to cross the start line within 4 minutes of the starting horn, or they will be disqualified from the race.
And they cut the line in 3 minutes 57 seconds.
We didn't know if we made it or not. But now we're out there and we have a boat, so we might as well do the race.
On the course, there's chaos. The waves are huge, and other boats keep capsizing, which gives the Danes the chance to start overtaking those at the back of the field.
Those are 10 best of the best sailors in 49er, and they look like a bunch of kids who are just capsizing, and probably somebody who doesn't understand sailing is questioning himself, what is this? It's a kindergarten.
The medal standings keep changing from minute to minute, and the other sailors are completely unaware it's a Danish team in the Croatian boat. In fact, engulfed in fog and rain, nobody has any idea what position they're in.
Funny enough, my skipper, he has contact lenses, and he lost those contact lenses during the race, so he was not able to see that far. And I have a glass eye, so out of four eyes, we actually only had one eye left that could see far out in the distance and the horizon. So,
as they cross the finish line, Martin starts counting the boats behind them.
I remember telling Jonas, I can see one boat there. If we made the start, bronze is guaranteed. And half a minute later, I can see another boat there. And then I can see three boats. If we made the start, I think we got the gold. And he just goes, shut up. Don't say stuff like that.
The final scoreboard comes up, and Denmark is in seventh place, exactly where they need to be to secure gold.
We saw them jumping and hitting our boat, and they were celebrating very hard.
The amount of feelings that run through your head, leading and then being out of it and then ending up winning, like it was a roller coaster of feelings. So when we saw the board, it was unbelievable. It's like your arms and legs don't know what to do. Whole body is just shaking. It's unreal, sensational, best feeling in the world.
To win a gold medal in such extraordinary circumstances, a lot of things needed to come together.
We really needed to run. They really needed to start 3 seconds earlier, not to be disqualified.
So basically, if the Croatian boys wanted to discuss with us for 5 seconds on dry land, we would have been out.
However, not everyone was so elated with the outcome. Two of the other teams protested the result, saying the Danes should be disqualified for using another team's boat. The case went all the way up to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which ultimately dismissed the protests.
There was no advantage of them using other boat, it was only disadvantage. And also with all this disadvantage, they managed to finish seventh, which was like, they deserve this gold medal 100%.
3 months later, the Croatian team, Pavle Petar and their coach Ivan Bulaja, were recognized for their act of fair play with the rare Pierre de Coubertin medal, awarded by the International Olympic Committee.
It is a big bronze medal. This is the only medal which you cannot win. You need to deserve it. Once my kids are old enough, it is something to brag about, to tell kids, look, your father was at the Olympics and I won that fair play medal.
But the real celebration happened in January 2009, when the Croatian and Danish teams were reunited. In a huge arena in Denmark, with a real 49er boat on stage, Martin and Jonas had been nominated for the Danish Sports Name of the Year awards. As they were about to leave the stage, the Croatian team jumped out and started hoisting the boat's mainsail, adorned with the Croatian flag.
And this is the emotions which I never experienced after. Now I have goosebumps. I cannot tell how many people, thousands of people, left and right of us. And this was a standing ovation. And I saw people crying. Like they were clapping and crying. And I was thinking, like, oh my, this is a big thing now in Denmark. And they were surprised. You could see that they are like really stunned. And then we hugged, we cried, and there was a big party that night.
To this day, Martin remains full of admiration for the Croatian team's selfless actions that allowed him to achieve his Olympic dream.
For them, it was the most natural thing in the world. And for that, I will always be grateful and will always have a special place in my heart for those boys. We always smile from far out and it's big hugs. Yeah, we have a special bond.
Martin Kirketep ending that edition of the Sporting Witness podcast. It was presented by me, Marta Medvesek, for the BBC World Service. If you've enjoyed listening, why not leave us a review? And please share it with anyone you think would like to hear it. It really helps us let people know about the amazing stories people tell us on Sporting Witness.